And good afternoon. It's the 3 o'clock hour and it's the Ask the Designer show. I'm Cher Elliott of the Original Company Radio Stations and thanks so much for tuning in. You can listen each Monday at 3 o'clock by tuning in to 97.7 FM AM 1450 or NewsKnoxCounty.com. You can click on the Ask the Designer logo and hit listen live and catch us each Monday at 3 o'clock. I'm joined by my buddy and designer, Greg Risley from Regal Furniture. Greg, thanks so much for joining in today.
Thanks. Always look forward to this, Cher. Well, I always enjoy it. We have a good time.
We do. We do.
We got another new recipe today.
Oh, yeah. You know how to talk to me. Give me the food.
That's right.
And we appreciate everybody tuning in and love to hear their feedback. We've had several people approach us and tell us that they listen in each week. So thanks to our loyal listeners. We're glad to have you and hope you continue to stay with us. And more importantly, we'd love to hear from you any topics that you'd like us to discuss or ideas. So you can do that a couple of ways. You can reach out to me here at the station. You can call 812-882-6060 and ask for me, Cher Elliott. I'll be glad to talk with you, or you can leave a voicemail, or you can email me at cherelliott@originalcompany.com, or, Greg, tell them how they can reach you at the store.
Okay. There's several ways to reach me. You can come in the front door at 4th and Bustman Street. We're there 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday. And now I am out on appointments sometimes, and so I don't want to disappoint people if they come in and I'm not there because I may be out measuring your neighbor's house. You never know.
That's right.
So, you know, if you want to make sure and see me or talk to me about a certain subject or give me an idea about the radio show, you can call first, 812-886-4444. And you can also write me at gregr@regalfurnituregallery.com.
Perfect.
You know, several ways to get a hold of us.
And we love to hear your ideas and suggestions. We've had some questions and look forward to receiving more. And we're not just here to talk about designing or decorating. We talk about furniture,
parties.
To think about shopping for furniture, hosting parties, and the holidays are coming. So, of course, that's always some good ideas to throw together for listeners.
We're getting ready to start getting out Christmas trees
My goodness. You're talking my language again.
We've just been unwrapping new stuff coming in, new ornaments and new sit-around things, and it's going to be lots of fun. November 10th.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I really should maybe come ask for a part-time job there just so I can see all the stuff. But I could see what would happen now. If I was to do that, I would end up buying more stuff than I would earn in income. So that may not be a good idea for me.
Might not work.
No. I should probably limit the amount of time I'm in there once all the snowmen start creeping out and the decorations for Christmas. So I'll try to be a good girl and not break my budget.
All right. We start putting that big Christmas wind in, you'll go crazy.
Yes. It's incredible. I don't know if our listeners have been to see the windows the last couple of years, but they're incredible. You know, remember back in the day in New York City, all the big department stores did great big displays. These are the kind of things that you see at Regal Furniture at Christmas time. Greg and his staff have done an incredible job of putting a nice scenescape and theme, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. It reminds me of being a little kid and seeing those displays in the stores, and just incredible. So as soon as that's unveiled, you definitely need to make a trip downtown and check it out. And you did, you know, give a little sneak up there about the upcoming open house. Again, when
is
that?
November 10th. It's a Saturday, 9 to 5.
Okay.
And the other thing I want to talk about, Cher, is I want to remind people that we do club meetings and things, social gatherings in the store.
Yeah.
And they can call and make an appointment. A lot of clubs like to do that around the Christmas open house because they like the sneak peek the week before. So, all you have to do, if you have to host a club in October or November or December, you know, it's a good time to call.
Yeah.
And we do coffee, iced tea, and water. And I make a homemade chocolate cake, which you've partaken of.
Yes.
From scratch with chocolate icing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're allergic to chocolate, don't call.
Yeah.
You're
don't
in trouble.
Want to book.
No. But if you love chocolate and you love good time and you want to see the Christmas stuff and you want a private tour of the store and you want to be able to ask all the questions you want, call us, make an appointment for a party at the store, you know.
Well, it's great because You don't have to put the agenda together of the event for the party or for your hosting your meeting that month. You don't have to clean the house for people to come over to be a part of it. You don't have to cook and clean up afterwards to have the desserts and the food. So it's kind of a win-win-win-win-win situation. I mean, you can't go wrong with this. And it's free, correct?
Yep.
Absolutely free.
We do not charge for it.
So good gravy.
Yeah.
Definitely look into that.
And we have a great time.
Oh, I know how much fun I have when I come to record ads. And
when we do the tour at the store, we turn off the overhead spotlights, so you get that special effect with just the Christmas tree lights and soft lighting. And
okay, so I'm going to have to know when I can come crash one of those parties because that sounds really neat.
I'll bet that could happen.
Okay, I'll bet
that could happen.
Well, and I need the chocolate cake too. So, but yeah, I mean, people need to start calling now though, because I'm sure your dates will start filling up because you have limited times.
We've already got some books, so.
Yeah. So again, just give him a call.
I hate to have to tell him no.
Yeah. Give Greg a call at the store, 812-886-4444. So you can get on his agenda for these Christmas open house special tours.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
And you get fed. How can you go wrong with free food?
And while we're talking about food, let's talk about the 100 Men Who Cook.
Yes, that's
exciting. That's going to come up before open house. That's mm-hmm. October 20th. And 100 Men Who Cook, and I'm sure all of you out there have somebody that's going to cook. I'm going to be one of the cooks this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm doing chocolate-covered strawberry cheesecake. So mm-hmm. be sure and come see me. Go to the website. Give us a little support. Support the YMCA. That's the program this year. And the Y has been a Knox County institution for years. I remember I went to the Y and took swimming lessons when I was about 8 years old. And,
oh my.
You know, it was always a neat thing to do. We came down here on Saturday mornings, went to the Y and swimming lessons, and then you got to eat out, and it was a really special deal, you know. So come out and support the Y and support the cook of your choice on 100 Men Who Cook. Go to Facebook. You can sign up and support us there. Or you can come to the event on October 20th and taste all the food.
Yeah, yeah. And I will tell you, I got to sample Greg's chocolate strawberry cheesecake covered chocolate. I don't know. It was scrumptious.
Peg was my guinea pig.
Yeah.
I brought some for share. I'd made a test recipe, test run. To see if we should do it or not.
And it did not disappoint. So if you haven't already signed up to attend or bought a table or your ticket for that night, definitely do that. They've got a lot of great men that are coming to bring a broad range of food.
Lots of great Knox County guys involved in this. And we have a good time doing it.
Oh, yeah. You know, lots of fun.
We aggravate each other, tease each other.
We have
a lot of fun.
And it's for a great cause. The YMCA, like you said, has been around it's an institute of the community for so long. And a great way to give back and help keep it going, keep it strong, and keep all the programs going. You know, it helps a lot of kids in the community who may not have a chance to participate in things.
Right.
And we want to keep those scholarships full and going as well. So.
And, you know, we have to remember that the Y still does help out those people who cannot or do not have the money to go or to support their child in that. You know, the Y is still open for those people because, some of us can maybe give a little more to make that happen for those that can't.
Right. And this is a great way to, and you may not be able to sponsor a full child's membership, but this is a great way to band together with a couple of others and help secure those scholarships.
You know, every nickel or penny goes into good works and, whatever dumps in the tip jar on October 20th goes straight to the YMCA. So
even better,
you know,
even
bring
better.
Some money and come support us.
Be ready to eat and tip well.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, it's time for our first break, so be sure and stay tuned. And when we come back, we're going to finish up our conversation on
downsizing.
So stay tuned.
Yep.
And we're back here live in the 97.7 FM WAOV studios. I'm Cher Elliott of the Original Company, and thanks so much for tuning in. You can catch us each Monday at the 3 o'clock hour on 97.7 FM, AM 1450, or newsknoxcounty.com. Just click on the Ask the Designer logo. And I'm joined by my buddy Greg Risley. And Greg, we had a great conversation last week talking about people who are looking to downsize. And it could be for numerous reasons.
And not only just downsizing, but making a move, you know.
Right.
Usually, if you're going to make a move, you need to change things, and you probably don't need to take as much as what you think you need to take.
Yeah. I'm guilty of that myself. I'm getting ready to downsize a little bit again and move again, and it's incredible the amount of stuff you compile in a very short period of time, you know, going from 2,800 square feet to 1,400 square feet to 1,100 square feet, you know, it just,
well,
it's crazy.
We're going to try to help them learn what to take and what to toss.
There we go.
When you're making a move.
All right. So what is the first thing that people,
First thing I want to talk about my mom.
Absolutely.
My mother was a wonderful lady. She was lovely. She was gracious. She was super. I was very blessed to have such a good mom. But she was a child of the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. So I'm not now left with the struggle to look at the house I'm living in that is full of items that she decided she should not throw away because somebody might need them.
Right.
And I love her dearly, but I don't need a 30-year accumulation of rubber bands.
Yes, I understand.
You know, you may be thinking that's funny, but I've got softball-size rubber band balls in drawers.
Oh, my grandmother, her chair, she'd take the newspaper each evening and take the rubber band off and put it on the arm of the chair. No. I know exactly what you're talking about. We had three chairs with both arms full of rubber bands.
Yeah.
You couldn't get rid of them.
Right.
Because you might need them.
That's right. And string, pieces of string, wound up and knotted and tied and rolled into balls and stuck in corners and hither, thither, and yon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, newspapers, stacks of newspapers in the basement. And I remember when a real good friend of my mom's passed away suddenly. And in one weekend, her kids called us to come out and say, help us go through these papers. We don't know why she saved them, you know. And we went through stacks of newspapers, reading them cover to cover, trying to figure out why she kept that newspaper in case there was something important there that they should keep. And I don't think we probably found five papers that were really that important. And I think one of them was when Kennedy was assassinated, another one when Martin Luther King was assassinated, those major landmark things. Yes. Vietnam War ended.
Sure.
Maybe that was one. But the rest of them were various and assorted things. They might have had a note in it about Coterie Club meeting, which was a little ladies' club in Bicknell years ago.
Yeah.
And she kept it because it mentioned Miss Dame so-and-so. But, so, you know, we all know we keep too much. But when you, that generation, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that had mothers and parents that lived through the generation, they saved everything. Everything. So, you know, that's the first thing you have to learn is you have to learn that just because they kept it doesn't mean you have to. And number two, whether you're moving from 6,000 square feet to 2,500 square feet or 1,100 square feet or 900 square feet, you need to figure out how to do it, and that's what we're going to talk about today, how to purge yourself of these assorted items.
There you go. Is there one particular item, like furniture, decorations, clothing, what is the biggest struggle, you think, in downsizing? What's the hardest thing to get people to break away from?
Without a doubt, family photos.
Okay.
Family photos, because it's like, who wants to throw grandma and grandpa's picture away?
Yeah, true. No.
You know, that's just wrong. I mean, it's just wrong to do that.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And I think that's the hardest thing is pictures, school pictures. I've been going through some of those. And things that mean something to me wouldn't mean a thing to my kids. Mm-hmm. They don't even know who those other guys were in that picture of the West Side basketball team.
Sure.
They don't even know who they are.
Right.
Most of them. You know, so those family photos are tough, really, really tough, you know. The ones I'm keeping are the ones that would mean something to my kids.
Okay.
Everything else is going by the wayside.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, if they didn't know them, like my grandparents, the boys didn't know either of my grandparents.
Oh.
Because it was their great-grandparents.
Sure, yeah.
So they didn't know them. So those pictures are going.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing there that that relates to them. They've got the family history and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I really like the idea that I read someplace that you take those family photos that mean something to the people that are going to be left and put them in one little album that is a cocktail table size album.
Okay.
Because then, if it's laying out on a cocktail table, if you have people there, people will sometimes pick that up and look at it.
Right, yeah.
But they're not going to look at 43 albums you've got in the closet.
Right, right. No, that's just kind of the highlight reel, basically.
Right, right, yeah. Right.
And I guess you can also scan those and digitize them and put them on in a picture frame that where it rotates the pictures too.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
keep it on
put
a shelf.
It in a CD and, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
One of those picture frames that will produce pictures
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
The other thing that staff share, mementos and collections. You know, my mother loved Hummels.
Oh.
She collected, I've got hundreds of Hummels in a cabinet. Now, I'm going to have to part with those someday. And my kids doesn't mean anything to them,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, how you know, the tough line is, how do you choose, you know.
Right.
So, I'm going to go through those. And I know there's a few in there that are signed by the artist that did them.
Okay.
Okay. Those are the most valuable pieces. And that's probably the only ones I'm going to keep. You know, mm-hmm. and I'll move those with me to my little house when I'm ready to move to a little house. I'll keep those, but the bulk of them will have to go.
Okay.
And Hummels are very, very expensive pieces. There's not a big market for them today.
Okay.
So, you know, you're going to have to take a hit on that, but you know what? That's the way life is.
Yeah.
Things go around and come around, and what was important 50 years ago isn't important today.
True. Very, very true.
So I have to, you know, I have to do that. You know, the other thing... Mm-hmm. that you do, you start the process with some basic questions. Will I miss this item if it's gone? It's a really good question. Because it may be, you may be used to seeing it on that shelf, but if you don't have it when you move, will you miss it?
Good point.
Okay. Now, my grandfather's gavel that he used when he was mayor of Picknell, yes, I would miss that. That's not going to go. My boys would be interested in having that.
There you go.
You know. So that item's going to go with me. Does this piece harbor good memories or bad? Well, why do you want to keep something that's got bad memories to it? You know,
right?
Number
exactly.
one, okay.
Yeah.
So you only want to look at things that have good memories. And if it's got good memories, even if it has good memories, it may not be something that they want. So what I'm doing is I've got a little journal, and as I go through this stuff and something that has a good memory, you know, that I'm going to dump, I write that memory down in my journal so the boys will have that to read. They won't have the piece that reminded me of that.
Okay.
You know, like the trip to St. Louis, and I went to Stan Musial's restaurant, and he signed a photograph for us. Well, the photograph is gone. Nobody wants that today. You know, he was an old baseball player from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was a big thrill of my life. It was the first celebrity I ever got to meet.
Oh, neat. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So that was neat. So I wrote that story down. Now they'll have that story to tell to their kids about. And Aunt May, my Aunt May, who is my grandmother's sister that started Mayfairs, wrote those stories down for me. And I dearly love having those stories. I wouldn't give you $1 million for those spiral-bound notebooks with those stories in them that Aunt May saved for me.
Oh, how awesome.
So that's where the idea came from to do this for my boys. I write those memories down.
Very nice.
Pass it on.
Very, very nice. All right. And then so now we've talked about pictures and mementos.
Right.
Where do we go next?
This is probably your toughest one.
Oh, boy.
Clothes.
Yeah, maybe. Because, okay. You know, I told you that I've always struggled with my weight my whole life, and I've
right.
had the weight roller coaster. So I still have clothes from my super skinny days, thinking that one day I'll get back to those. And then I have my really fat clothes that, you know, if I ever let myself go again, then I still have stuff to wear because I don't want to buy nice new stuff. So, yeah, clothes are probably going to be my hardest thing.
Yep. Tackle your closets with one question.
Okay.
Have I worn this in the past 6 months?
Ooh, 6 months, man.
Yeah. Or since we're in a area that has four seasons, we'll say 12 months.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
If you haven't worn this in 12 months, then it goes in the dispose of pile.
Okay.
Now, if you've worn a piece of those in that disposal time fewer than 3 times in that year, ditch that also.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I know it. Hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah. You're getting me in the feels here. Wow. I'm going to be having to go shopping because it's like only wear the same 3 or 4 things. But yet, you never know, Greg. I might need that shirt if I'm going to go out with my friends. Or I can't get rid of those pants because they, you know, they fit me really well. And I know I haven't worn them anywhere in a year or
but
two.
It's like you said, getting back into that skinny size.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was maybe more than a few months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then, you know, it needs to go. Doesn't need to take up space.
True, I guess.
The other thing that you're not going to like to hear, seasonal decorations.
Oh my gosh. I'm about to have a heart attack.
Holiday and seasonal decorations fall smack into that category of things that have to be purged.
Oh.
You can't take all that seasonal stuff. And really, you know, there's many things that you need to purge. You just don't have the heart to do it.
Yeah,
so.
And that is true. I did try to pare down my Christmas decorations when I moved out of my house. And I did, and I moved it to the stuff that I used. But the stuff that I didn't use, I still kept and put in my storage unit that, you know, you're not supposed to do. You're supposed,
right.
You're supposed to gift those on to someone else that needs them. So
right. Take them to Goodwill.
Right. So, yeah. I'm going to raise my right hand now, and I promise to Greg right now that when I get ready to...
Listen to this, folks.
Yes. Hold me accountable, please. Check on this.
I'm sure there will be people that will hold you accountable. It probably won't be me. But
well, there. Hopefully, though.
Somebody listening to this show will.
Yeah, I hope. I promise that when I get ready to move this time in the next 2 weeks, that I will be better about purging things... In general, but more specifically, my clothes and my seasonal decorations.
Yeah.
I said it out loud. Oh, my. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to have to go to break because I'm going to need a drink of water or something after this. So you don't want to miss the rest of this show because it is really great and very helpful. So stay tuned. And we're back here live in the 97.7 FM WAOV studios. I'm Cher Elliott of the Original Company. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're here each Monday at the 3 o'clock hour for the live local hour. Lots of fun here on the Ask the Designer show. I'm joined by my buddy Greg Risley of Regal Furniture. And Greg, thanks for doing this with me. I have so much fun with you and learn so much. And stuff that I know that I should do that I just didn't do, but you keep me accountable, and that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And you give me good recipes on food for me to eat. So now just to find some exercise activities for you to give me to work off all of those calories from the great food and recipes you give me. Then it's a well-rounded circle.
That's right.
So, all right. Before the break, we were talking about that purge and how long we should hang on to things.
Right,
and
right.
So clothing, if it's not been worn in the last year, then it needs to go to the purge pile. And even the stuff that's been worn within the last year, has it been worn more than twice, 2 or 3 times?
More than 3 times.
And if not more than 3 times, then it too needs to go to the purge pile.
Right.
Okay.
And the other thing you need to apply that real tool is kitchen stuff.
Oh,
kitchen stuff is like magnets for paraphernalia.
Yeah.
You know, you've got that little crest crimper, the olive pitter, the cherry pitter, all this little stuff in that drawer that you really don't need.
Or don't even know what it is because, you know,
right.
I'm not Betty Crocker by any means or, you know, Martha Stewart. So a lot of those things that you just named, I've never heard of before. But I am a good cook when I choose to be, and I can do those things, but I don't get too into the weeds on some of those things. So those things that grandma gave me when I moved out and when she downsized, all the stuff I took from her kitchen, that's probably what those things are called that are in the drawer that I still have from 1994. So I guess that's another thing that this time I'm going to have to purge.
Right. And again, you know, it's that 12-month rule. And then if you haven't used it at least 3 times in that 12 months, get rid of it. Okay.
I'm going to have forks and knives, and that's about it.
Then the next thing is garden tools. Because as you downsize, usually the yard gets smaller.
True.
So you don't need as many garden tools as you had at one time, or the big lawnmower anymore, because you can do a small lawnmower. Blah, blah, blah. You know, that's easy. Then the most difficult thing is furniture, too.
Right. Know. Yeah.
We covered the small stuff. Now it's time to look at the big stuff. And, you know, the living spaces in your new home are not going to be as large as the ones you're leaving when you're downsizing.
True.
So you might have a small multipurpose room instead of a living room and a family room.
Okay.
So you have two rooms of stuff that you need to get rid of. You may not have a dining room at all.
Yeah.
I was working with a couple in Indianapolis this past weekend, and they have a little area in their great room that's set aside for like a little dining area. And he says, do we have to put a dining room seat there? And I said, no, you don't. You know, you can put in bookcases, a wet bar, you know, whatever you want. Put some chairs in there in that open space. And, you know, it'd be great. Probably used more than if you do a dining room. You know, he goes, well, super. That's what we'll do. So, you know, even the dining room, you know, does it really need to go? Does everybody still come to your house?
Right.
Or, in my instance, I go to my kids for Christmas. I don't have them at home anymore. So, I've got this big dining room table and china cabinet that's full of china. You know, so now, you know, it's time to maybe start handing that china off to the kids and say, here, we'll use this when I come down, and that'll work.
Very nice. Yeah. And then it's still keeping in the family. You're keeping those holiday traditions together like you've had. It's just now it's kept somewhere else.
But a lot of times the younger people don't like sterling silver and crystal and all that stuff. And you have to respect their wishes. Their lifestyle is not ours. We grew up with that stuff. And it was a big deal at Christmas time to get it all out and use it and everything. People don't do it anymore like they used to.
Yeah, not as much as we used to.
Nope.
But that's okay.
That's right. So how do you get a minimalist mentality? That's the key, you know.
With a sign that says free, and it'll be gone as soon as it
turns
dark.
You don't even put a sign free on it. If you put it out there, it'll be gone.
True, very true.
Even our nice little honest towns that we live in here. I mean, you know, they know if you've got a chair sitting on the sidewalk, it's not there for decoration.
True, very true.
You know, so you need to declutter, and a lot of times get your post-it notes and go through the house with furniture and put a post-it note on it. Blue to keep, green to pitch, maybe pink for maybe not, maybe so.
That's
just
a good
realize
idea.
When you get done, you're going to have way too many green and pink ones. You're going to have to change a lot of them.
True.
To the pitch part, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, and, you know, bottom line, how much is too much? It's subjective. If you've ever read Clutter versus Keepers or Beautiful Clutter, you know that taste and comfort needs vary, and it comes down to really what's too much for you. Again, a lot of times, you know, will I miss this if I get rid of it? If it's your favorite chair, the answer is yes. If it's a chair that was Great Aunt Nellie's, probably not.
Right.
Because you've never sat in it. It's been, you know, I've got a chair that was my great-grandmother's that's in an upstairs bedroom. I think I sat in it last when I was about 12. And, you know, it's not a comfortable chair even. Doesn't fit anybody. Why am I keeping it?
There you go.
My kids never knew the person that owned it, so it doesn't mean anything to them, you know.
Yep, again, that's right. That doesn't have a memory value for them.
Right. And decluttering your home, is it a common topic? Is it a constant worry to you? If it is, then you have too much stuff. You are a clutterer. You need to get rid of it. You know. Are you continually clean, but your home's never tidy? That's because you got too much stuff.
Yeah, true.
You know, you open your closet, stuff's falling out of it. Yeah, you got too much stuff.
Ugh.
You know. You need to get rid of things.
I know. The open the closet door and stuff fall out. I'm guilty of that. My linen closet is bad about that. With sheets and towels and blankets and pillows and all that. So
right. And how many pillows are in that closet, Cher?
Still in their container or have maybe been
just
used
total.
Once or twice? I think there's six.
And how many can you sleep on?
Two,
okay.
If you know me. But, of course, on my bed, there's like 10 pillows. So I know. All right, I'm going to work on this. I promised. I raised my hand and promised I was going to work on this. So that definitely, it's interesting to find all the different places that people tend to hang on to things.
Right.
So, all right. Well, it's time for our next break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll talk more about this downsizing.
We're going to have 7 tips. For going minimalist.
Okay.
They'll go pretty quick.
All right. I'm going to get paper and pen so I can write that down and use this in the coming weeks. So.
All right.
All right. Stay tuned. And we're back here live in the 97.7 FM WAOV studios. I'm Cher Elliott of the Original Company, and thanks so much for tuning in. Greg, thanks for coming by today. We always have so much fun, and boy, this episode is really killing me today. It's really pointing out a few things. We're talking about downsizing
right.
for whatever reason. Lots of different things go on. And we've had some really good tips. So, but you mentioned before the break that you have 7 rules.
7 tips for going minimalist.
All right. Okay. I got the pen and paper, so let's go.
Number one, begin with the end in mind. Think about how you want your home to be. Browse through your thoughts of what your rooms are going to look like and your themes you're going to have. And then only after you're clear about that, then you know what you're shooting for, so you're ready to purge the things you don't need.
Okay.
Prepare to feel worse before you feel better. When you start this, you're going to feel bad. And it's true. Just like the child that says she always loved you, but she didn't always like you. And that's true. You know, when you get rid of things, you'll focus on what you paid or that you still really, really love an item, and you may feel shame about the money you've wasted, but holding on to stuff you don't want or need is not the answer.
Okay.
So prepare to feel worse. Feel like I really wasted money on this. I'm going to learn from this. I'm not going to do it again. Forgive yourself. When feelings of shame surface, take a moment to say, I forgive myself, and then keep going. I had to do that with Grandma and Grandpa's pictures and that kind of thing. You got to say, Mother probably wouldn't approve of this, but I need to do this. So forgive myself and go on. You know, if you're having trouble, get help. Get somebody that can look at your decluttering from a different viewpoint. They're not attached to any of those things. They can walk through your house and say, clutter, 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 clutter. Not necessary, not needed, not wanted. Doesn't do a thing for your house.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
I have a lot of people that pay me to do that. Go through and say, get rid of that, get rid of this, get rid of that. Okay?
I think I could do that for somebody else.
Yeah.
But for myself, no.
Well, maybe you ought to pretend it's somebody else's house and do it for yourself.
I'll try.
Right. Now, give or throw things away. You know, if somebody wants it, give it to them. Or throw it away. Or take it to Goodwill. Take it St. Vincent de Paul. Lots of times, things that you don't want or don't need can go there and really be a help to some people that need them.
Yeah.
Particularly, it's a lot of the kitchen stuff that you don't need that you got brought from Grandma's house. Somebody else may need that, and they can find it there. Okay? Plan to give yourself only so much time to go through all this. Plan to do it in several weeks or several months to go through your home. Go room by room. This keeps the mess contained and the project more manageable. Take a day or two to do a room and then take some time off. Once you declutter a space, you'll be able to see that it's easier to maintain and it's also a lot easier to clean and keep tidy looking. And then you're starting to get your reward because you've gotten rid of the clutter. It makes it easier on you from your day-to-day work that you have to do to maintain your home. Okay. Ask yourself what you would grab in a fire.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's the last one. In an actual fire, you should only think of saving people and animals, not anything in the house. You know, but if you ask this question, it points out what really matters, you know.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Very good point. Well, those are all great tips, and I will take my notes with me when I start my
Here's the last three notes you need to do, and we're going to be done with decluttering and simplified. The three stages sort things into keep, give, and trash piles.
Okay.
Two, put away what you keep. Don't leave it sitting out. Put it in its place.
Okay.
Three, haul the rest away. Get rid of it. Don't say, I'll look at that again tomorrow. Haul it off. Throw it in the trash. Take it to Goodwill, St. Vincent de Paul. You know, breaking the process down into those three categories helps you stay focused. And let's face it, the basic thing, if we do have a fire, the thing that's important is our kids, our spouses, our loved ones, and our pets.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
Yep.
So think of that when you're wanting to declutter. Think of that when you're wanting to get rid of things. Think of that when you're downsizing. And the bottom line is it's going to save you a lot of work from packing it to take it to another house that's going to stay there like it was. Now, do we have time for the recipe or not?
Well, heck yeah. You think I'm going to let you get away without sharing food with me?
This is from the Pioneer Woman.
Okay.
Chocolate cake in a mug, one of my favorite things.
Chocolate cake in a mug. Woo! Yep. That's going to get me in trouble.
15 minutes, active time, 10 minutes, one serving, easy. 3 tablespoons all-purpose flour, 3 tablespoons sugar, 2 tablespoons cocoa powder, 1/4 teaspoon baking powder, pinch of salt, 3 tablespoons of milk, 3 tablespoons of vegetable oil, splash of vanilla extract, and 3 tablespoons of chocolate chips. Basically, we all have that in our cabinet right now.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Even me.
No special equipment, really. We just need a big 12-ounce microwave-safe ceramic mug and a microwave oven. Most of us have that.
Yeah, yeah.
Put the flour, sugar, cocoa powder, baking powder, and salt into the ceramic mug. Blend thoroughly with a fork. Add the milk, vegetable oil, and vanilla, and blend it until smooth. Stir in the chocolate chips. Microwave on high for 90 seconds. Do not overcook or the cake will be dry. Let cool to 2 or 3 minutes. A dollop of whipped cream or vanilla ice cream on top is highly recommended.
Yes.
And enjoy.
I can, yeah. Okay. There you go. That's definitely going to get me in trouble because I like chocolate cake a lot. A lot.
That's real easy.
It is. It is. And like you said, most of those items are in everybody's cupboard, so it'd be pretty easy to get going. So I do have a question. So we do that, though, let's remind everybody, Christmas open house.
November 10th.
That's a Saturday, 9 to 5.
Saturday, 9 to 5.
Lots of great specials that day.
Always.
And so when are we unveiling the Christmas window decoration? When will the window be unveiled?
November 9th.
Man, you are a tough cookie to crack. I was really hoping to get in and see that earlier.
You've been trying to crack me for years.
Yes. Dang it. All right, so I'm going to have to wait, too. And then also, quickly, 100-minute cook.
October 20th.
October 20th. So definitely be
there. Put that on your calendar.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely do that. Okay.
Come see me for cheesecake.
Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. All right. I got a twofold question here.
Okay.
What is the proper height for lamps on an end table? And is my ottoman supposed to be the same height as my chair?
Okay. Lamps on an end table, we're going taller now. 31, 32 inches used to be the tallest.
Uh-huh.
Now we're going back to 36 inches like it was about 15 years ago.
Okay.
So gives you more light, easier to read.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, ottoman for your chair or sofa should not be exactly the same height in a chair because it raises your feet up too high and causes you to get a little pull in the small of your back.
Really?
The ottoman needs to be just a little bit lower because your calves are thicker than the rest of your leg.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes you to get a little incline. A lot of times that gives you a pull on your back. So the ottoman needs to be a little bit lower on the chair.
Wow.
Now, a chaise doesn't seem to have that effect because you're all on one level.
Gotcha.
Your bottom, your
right.
legs, and all your legs are on the same level.
It's automatically.
But when you've got that little gap between your legs and the chair seat,
right.
that's when it needs to be a little lower.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Those are some great answers. Great questions. Thank you for sending those in, by the way. We appreciate that. And there's the music. So
okay.
we're through this hour again. And great.
Everybody
thanks.
Have a great week.
Yes.
We'll see them next Monday.
That's right. Tune in here at the 3 o'clock hour on Mondays for the live local Ask the Designer show. I'm Cher Elliott of the Original Company. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you didn't catch the recipe, don't worry. Go to newsknoxcounty.com. Click on the Ask the Designer logo and look for the show on the archives. You can tune in, listen to the show, fast forward to the recipe, or pick up any show from the past. So be sure and check us out. Thanks so much.